Join me in Matthew chapter 13, please, as we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 23. You see it there on the projection in front of you as well. Hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." When the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You'll indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and it does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, we have many good farmers and gardeners here in this room, and you know what is necessary. What is necessary to yield a profitable crop, to raise a good tomato, to bear a beautiful ear of corn, thank you, Mr. Gray, or to bring an orchid to bloom. There's a science to that, I'm told. And one of the primary things that you are aware of as a good farmer and a gardener is that its soil must be prepared. It must be good dirt. Good dirt is a foundation of a healthy garden. As with a house, if you don't have a strong foundation, you can expect a host of problems from your gardens. And those problems could produce anything from timid tomatoes to drooping daffodils to lifeless lilies or to ornery orchids. You like that, huh? So it is with the Christian life. A good foundation, a solid base is necessary, and it is good, and it's necessary for a good, Christ-honoring, Christian-living life. And see, this is what our Lord is teaching today. The good foundation is the Word of God. The Word of God heard and followed prepares that life, prepares that soil, if you will, prepares that life to be a good foundation for Christian living. But here in our teaching today, the Word of God is not at central focus here. The Word of God is not the soil. The Word of God is the seed being given, being tossed, being spread into the soil. This parable is about the soil's readiness to receive the seed. That is the key of a God-honoring Christian living life. Before we dive into our text, let's look at the literature style because it's important that we understand what's being said and how it's being said here. From chapter 13 on here for a few chapters, we're going to be hearing one parable right after another. Parables are a particular literature style. They were used by rabbis of Jesus' day, a familiar method of teaching. But there's a big difference in Jesus' parable and the ones used by the rabbis. You see, the rabbis prided themselves in confusion. And so the parable given often by the rabbis typically were not drawn to an ultimate point. And the people were left wondering, what did he say? But Jesus' parables are different. Yes, the literature style is the same, but Jesus' point is always given, or message is always brought to a singular point. Parables typically have only one point, summarized in different ways, but one point. And that teaching is significant. It's not left in the people wondering. But what is a parable? It's a simple comparison between a known thing and an unknown thing. It goes from a known widely by the people, but then it's used as a method to take you to an unknown of which we are being taught. And here we are not only given the parable, but we're also taught the purpose of the parable. The disciples asked, Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? Remember the confusion that typically came along with the parables as they were given. And so the people were accustomed, and so the disciples were confused. Why are you speaking in parables? Well, Jesus' answer is not only surprising, it may be quite startling to many. Jesus answered the question, why do you speak to them in parables? It says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Please hear what Jesus is saying, has said. To some the secrets of the kingdom of heaven will be given and are given, and to some they will not be given. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this. Look with me at the latter part of 14. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. But listen to this next part. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Yes, their hearts are hardened. But Jesus is saying more than that. The Holy Spirit has empowered some to hear and some to see. And some they have not. Join me in Mark chapter 4. Mark being a one who cuts to the chase a little quicker, uses less language. This same purpose of parables is given, but it's given in a little bit shorter note with a little bit finer point on it. Mark 4:10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that, hear that, they spoke in parables so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Quite startling. That Jesus spoke in parables, yes, a wonderful teaching method, but he spoke so that those who had the ability to hear would hear the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability. Parables are used to relate the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but those secrets are not for everyone. Those empowered by the Holy Spirit will understand. Those who are not won't. Those whose hearts are hardened will never perceive. But parables have another purpose. Parables are also for those who are not too lazy to dig into their truths. This is not an easy believism. You have to work. This is discipleship. This is sanctification. This is the love of God's Word. This is hearing the message and being stirred by it so that you dig in deeper so that you understand the truths being given. Parables are for those who are hungry and want to dig for the truth. How many of you, the first time you ever read one of these parables, you kind of go, what? But then you gave yourself to them. And you read them again. And you prayed, Lord, help me understand. And the light bulb goes off. That's what the parables are for. Come and dig into the Word of God. Dig into the truth so you might be glorified in your learning and also taught to worship and honor God. Back to Matthew 13, verse 12. For the one who digs and pursues, more will be given. But for those who are lazy and do not give attention to this, even what they have will be taken away. Look at verse 12. For to one who has, more will be given. Meaning the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of His presence. You digging into this word, more will be given to you. And He will have it in abundance. Keep digging. Keep digging, because you will never find the bottom. But from the one who has not, meaning the one who doesn't give themselves to this teaching, doesn't dig into these truths, even what he has will be taken away. Folks, Christianity is not an easy believism. It's a pursuit. It's a challenge. It's a digging. It's a working along with the Holy Spirit through sanctification so that we do become more like Christ. One more thing about parables. They are designed to drive you, to move you, to lead you to a decision. First, the decision is about self. A parable should first drive you to a decision about self. Am I a person of faith, and do I have the ability to understand this parable? Am I a person moved to dig in deep and understand and unearth the truths here? Or, as Jesus said, am I one on the outside? I didn't understand that. That means nothing to me. Am I whispering to myself, what in the world is he talking about? If that's the case, it may reveal that you're one on the outside. Second, you are driven to make a decision about the content, the subject matter of the parable. Do I accept the teaching? Do I believe what Jesus Christ has given? Do I believe that the Word of God given to good soil will rise up and produce a good Christian living? Do I believe that? Or do I turn away saying, no, that's not for me? Parables are meant to drive you, move you to a decision. Look with me at verse 13. This will help you decide the question. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Is that you? You hear me read the parable? Zoom. Hits the wall behind you. Or does verse 16 describe you? Look with verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The parable read goes right to the heart. Yes, Lord, I understand that. Come, Holy Spirit, and grow that word in me. Now, to the parable of the sower particularly. In biblical text, the first thing offered, the first thing said, is usually the more prominent, the more important. This is the first of the parables offered in this chapters of parables. So this is the most important parable that we will discuss in the coming weeks. And please notice, the parable is about something known, farming. Everybody in this room knows something about farming and gardening. You may not have ever turned over a piece of soil with a shovel, but you know a little something about farming and gardening. It's a simple topic to get people's attention. But then, being a parable, it moves to something unknown, the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Now, the story is of a farmer sowing the seeds, but please know this is not just any farmer. This is the farmer. This is the sower, capital S. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ casting out the seed of his word, and those who have ears to hear follow him. Those who do not, turn away. But today, the sower today is the preacher. The sower today is the Sunday school teacher. The sower today is the mentor sharing the wonderful truths, the wonderful teaching of our Lord during that session. The sower is the man or woman who shares their faith using the Word of God to give solidity, to give evidence. The sower today is anyone who takes the Word of God and casts it out for those to hear. You are the sower. And to those who have been given eyes to see and ears to hear, the word falls deep into that soil, and it begins to germinate, it begins to grow, and it begins to bring forth the crop of which is buried mysteriously into that seed. Or in this case, seen outwardly in the lives of Christians. That word cast out, that word offered right here, right now, is seed being cast into your soil. But which soil are you? Which of these accounts best resembles you? I'm going to read verses 18 through 23 again. And I want you to listen closely. And I want you to find yourself in one of these accounts. And believe me, one of them's you, just as one of them's me. Listen closely. First of all, verse 18 and 19. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what has been sown along the path. Now, by and large, these are the pagans. They are not going to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It ain't going to find a home in their life. And the evil one comes and snatches it away. It has no work to do. I dare say that that's none of us, I pray. Verse 20. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, this gets a little gray here. This could be the nominal Christian who is on the periphery of the church, is a part of the church, the name's on the roll, but they ain't in the church. They hear the word, oh, that was great. Work tomorrow gets a little tough, and the word is gone. Or this could be an unbeliever who is in the church, but not of the church. We have some of these among us. Verse 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Again, believer, non-believer. I believe he's speaking mostly about the believer. Sadly, there are many, many of this category within the church. On Sunday morning, we hear the word preached, we hear the word taught, but yet tomorrow morning when the challenges of the world, the deceitfulness, the pace of the day, and it's all gone. The nominal Christian, I might add. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold. In another 60, and another 30. These are the disciples. These are the ones who are given to dig into this word. These are the ones who hear the word, take it, internalize it, meditate on it, ponder it, give themselves to further pursuit, prayerful consideration over it. They are tilling the soil. They are working it up, and that seed germinates through the work of the Holy Spirit, and then it matures 100-fold, 60, 30. These are the disciples. These are the ones growing in sanctification. These are the ones who every day are becoming more and more and more like Christ. These are the ones who can say, yes, I am good soil. Perfect? No. Forgiven? Grace-filled? Yes. Evidences of the work of the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Sadly, we have fewer of these. Which are you? Which am I? Did you find yourself among these verses? Are you the path that the seed just bounces and falls away? Are you the rocky soil that the seed might catch, but as soon as the sun hits it, it's gone? Are you the one living your life in thorns? I could do better if this would just change. I could do better if this were to... I could do better if I didn't... And the thorns just choke it out. Or are you the one that's been tilled, that's been turned over, that's been fertilized, that's had a little bug spray, that's had the nutrients replaced, and you see and feel and know that the Word of God, as it comes in, I hear it, I understand it, and I can feel it, I see it affecting and changing my life. Better than you answering the question, ask a friend or your spouse, which of these is you? Say it in love. I titled the sermon, Are We Good Dirt? Seriously, are we good dirt? Because we are dirt. But dirt that's been redeemed, I pray. A parable, one more thing. A parable is like a mirror. Yes, it's a story with a good meaning, but more, it demands that you look at yourself. You look at yourself and the reflection of the message given. This parable is a mirror. Hold it up to you and say, ooh, there I am. What do you see? Are we good dirt? Are we good soil? Are we ready to receive the Word of God and grow a beautiful fruit? Are you a prepared soil ready to receive the seed of the Word of God? It's a pretty simple question. And I think in the back of everyone's mind here, you have an answer. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come, please. Work in the lives of all of us. Father, please, let us not be those who have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear. Give us the eyes of a spiritual nature that hears this teaching, sees this teaching, understands it, maybe not fully, but I hear, oh Lord, and the message is coming in. Holy Spirit, come in and till the soil. Remove the weeds and let the light of the gospel shine brightly so the good crop is born and raised and is reaped here. In Jesus' holy name, amen.